wants me to, and then I'm going to go to the hospital. All right, turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5 with me this morning, please, if you'd like to stand as we open God's infallible Word. The reason the church has no power today, it has no Bible. Anything calls itself a Bible, so there's no authority. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5, and verse number 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Father, in Jesus' name, bless Your Word now. Give me the unction to preach it. In Thy name we pray. Amen. It's an amazing thing how this apostle can say so much in such a short period of time. But I'm going to call your attention to verse number 16 of the book of 2 Corinthians. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Mark that down in your heart. Get a hold of that in your mind. Grasp it. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. In 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 17, here's what the apostle says. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Now the Apostle Paul told you that we no longer know Christ after the flesh, obviously meaning that we know Him in another way and another place. The Apostle John says that as He is now, present tense, where He is, so are we in this world. If we understand that correctly, that would govern our thinking. It would govern our approach to the Scriptures in understanding what the Christian life is about. God Almighty is an eternal being, folks. From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. That is one of the great statements of the prophet Isaiah. And the Lord thundered out and said, "There is no other God beside me. I know none." And in a sense where we can understand it, He said, "I am Almighty God, first and the last." And so to Isaiah, He said, "Search and see if you can find. They make them from a pole. They carve out a being that they fashion into what they call a God. Then bow down before it. It can't hear them. It can't see them. And it can't answer their prayers." Or they may take a stone and carve something out of it and create a God before them. And Isaiah, the Lord, he rebuked time and again man's feeble effort to try to create some kind of a God that he could see, that he could touch, that he could smell, that he could hear, that he could relate to. Now this generation that you live in today, friend, has done that. They have created a God that they can see, that they can hear, they can touch, they can smell. In plain words, a God that relates to the natural man. But my Scripture tells me that we no longer know Him after the flesh. What does that mean, preacher? That means that 2,000 years ago the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea. That means that God became flesh and was incarnate, and the God-man lived on this earth. That man grew to manhood and was baptized at the Jordan River and anointed by the power of the Holy Ghost. And for 33 and a half years He walked about on this earth, performing miracles, healing the sick, casting out devils, healing the leper, and raising the dead. My friend, for that 33.5 years he taught his disciples, hand-picked, hand-chosen. They sat about him at the campfires at night, and he revealed the great truths of God Almighty to them. And then they took him outside Jerusalem, and they nailed him on a cross, and there he bled and he died. They laid him in a virgin tomb, and on the third day he arose from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and now sits in glory. There are those that want to keep him as a babe in the manger. They like the babyhood of Christ. There are those who fashion their whole ministry about what he did when he was here on this earth and the miracles that he performed in the Sea of Galilee and the surrounding areas. There are those who want to keep him on a cross and a crucifix. And in some strange way, they try to relate their suffering to the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, and somehow or another try to convert that into some kind of righteousness, as if they can suffer and that they can create righteousness by doing that in this earth. And that is a perversion of the truth of the Word of God. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is a baby no more. He no longer walks about the Sea of Galilee performing miracles. And He is certainly not on a cross nailed to a tree and there bleeding and dying. His body is not lying moldering in a grave or a tomb somewhere. He ascended to the right hand of the Father, and there in glory He is Almighty God, ascended, glorified in the name of Jesus. From everlasting in the past, the Son of God was the Son of God. How far back I can go, my mind cannot carry me. But as far back as you could possibly go into eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ was the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, my friend, He created the heaven and the earth. He spoke it into existence, made everything there is. And my friend, He made man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He became a living soul. Throughout the Old Testament, He manifested Himself as the angel of the Lord. He made Himself known to mankind in many, many, many different ways. The Bible is 66 holy books of holy writ, 39 Old Testament books, 27 New Testament books. It covers the span of human existence all the way from Adam down to this present time. But at the end of that book, there's a handful of little books called Pauline epistles. There's one book that makes up the last book of the Bible, and it is the book of Revelation. All of the time that man has related to God for thousands of years does not in any small way compare to that revelation that you find in those few small books in the end of the Bible. For it was to the Apostle Paul that the Almighty began to reveal great truths that men knew nothing about. They were mysteries up until that time. And when the Lord Jesus was here 2,000 years ago, He called out His church, which is His body, which is His bride. And He said, I will build my church upon this rock. He began to reveal truths to the church that nobody had a clue that before that anything like this was coming to pass. Great truths, great revelations of the mind of Almighty God. And then in the last book of the Bible, heaven is opened and eternity is pulled back so that we can see Him. If it had not been for the book of Revelation, there's a lot of things about the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ that we wouldn't understand this morning. But when you open up the book of Revelation, you get to see Him as He is. Where the Apostle John says, as He is, so are we in this world. The first thing that you see in Revelation, He declares, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning, I'm the ending. In the book of Revelation, the first thing He does is stand in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, and there He speaks to the church of God. He has hair white as snow. His eyes are as a flame of fire. His whole countenance is shining as the noonday sun. His feet are as fine brass. And the Bible says He's girt about the paps with a golden girdle, emphasizing His eternity and His wisdom and His age. And the Bible says here that He judges and He speaks, and His voice is as many waters. He is presented to us in the book of Revelation as the very one that we read about in the book of Daniel, the Ancient of Days. He comes forth stepping out of eternity, and He wants you to see who Jesus Christ is now. For as He is now, so are we in this world. And we no longer know Him after the flesh. We know Him for who He is now. He's not a baby. He
He'll never be nailed to another tree. He, my friend, will never be smacked in the face again. They'll never tear his back open with a cat of nine tails. No more spikes in his hands and his feet. He is the glorified, risen, Ancient of Days. In the book of Revelation, he speaks to the churches. Seven churches of Asia Minor, and he makes his will known to them, and how that they had fallen away and departed from the truth that he gave them. But then in the book of Revelation, chapter number 4 and 5, we see him manifested as the Lamb of God, the one that John the Baptist said taketh away the sin of the world. The last one that you would ever expect to be the one that opened the seven seal book and pour out the wrath of God upon the earth. But that's exactly what he does. It is a lamb that sends hell fire down upon planet earth. It is a lamb that opens up the bottomless pit and lets that being come up upon the face of the earth. It is a lamb that sends 200 million horsemen from the east as they come wrecking havoc upon the face of the earth. It is the lamb that opens the gates of hell and allows the Antichrist to come walking about upon the face of this earth. It is the lamb that allows the stars of heaven to fall down to planet earth, and with them they bring judgment and damnation to mankind. A lowly lamb with its throat cut and blood running down, but it is the Lamb of God. It is God in His weakness defeating Satan in His strength. It is the wisdom of God pitted against the wisdom of man and the wisdom of the devil. It is the Almighty who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. We no longer know Him after the flesh. No longer. The one I know has eyes of fire. The one I know has hair white as snow. The one I know has feet as fine brass. And when He speaks, every created thing there is in the universe will pay attention. I know one that is glorified. I know one that is exalted. I know one that is seated at the right hand of majesty on high. I know one that has a name above every name. And He's looking for somebody that'll believe Him and call on His name. Quit groveling around in religion and running back to dead things that have no power. The reason the church is empty today is because it's empty of power. It's got doctrine. It's got people. It has all kinds of messages. It's got music, but it has no power. There is power in the gospel. There is power in the resurrected Christ. There is power in His word. There is power in His blood. There is power to save the sinner and heal the sick. If I didn't believe it, I'd close my Bible and go get me a job. I believe there's power, unlimited power, inexhaustible power. I'm talking about the power of God. My friend, He lives. He lives in resurrection life. He lives glorified. He lives. And because He lives, I will live also. He lives a life that'll never die. He lives a life that rose from the dead. He'll live forever. And because He lives, I live. It's power, friend. The Church of God's about power. It's not about garbage created, warmed over, rewrapped that comes from this world. It's the power that cometh down from on high. He said to the 120 in the upper room, He said, get in there and wait. Wait for the promise of the Father. Nobody waits on God. Nobody waits on heaven. Everything has to be instant. Push button. Instant gratification. But He said, wait. Wait for the promise of the Father. He said, wait for the promise of the Father. So 120 in the upper room started waiting. One day passed. Another day passed. Another day passed. Another day passed. But they continued to wait. They trusted God. They believed in Him. They believed He was able to do what He said He could do. And then, my friend, heaven opened. The Bible said the power of God came down. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Do you have the Holy Ghost? Are you playing in La La Land? Sure you're full of religion. Sure you're a Baptist. Sure you're a worshiper. Sure you go to church. But you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. I'm talking about power. I'm talking about power to raise the dead. I'm talking about power to heal the sick. I'm talking about power to make the captive free. I mean power. That's our heritage. That's where we were born. That's my home. That's my God. That glory to God. That's where I came from. I'm talking about real power today. Amen. I get so sick and tired of religion, I can't stand it. I want to go somewhere and puke. I've had it up to here with religion. There's power in the resurrected Christ. There's power in this Word. There's power. We no longer know Him after the flesh. We know Him now as the risen Lord God. There's some of you right now, right this moment, you want to get up and come down here and get on your face and take hold of glory and say, God, give me that power. Well, come on. What are you waiting for? Say, God, pour out that Holy Ghost. Give me the power of heaven. I want power in my life. I want something to move my soul. I'm tired of being up one day and down the next. Let the power of God come. We no longer know Him after the flesh, but we know Him after the Spirit. And He that raised Jesus from the dead, if the one that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in your mortal bodies. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. If He that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in your mortal bodies, does He dwell in your mortal body? He's in mine. He's in mine. Is He in yours? The power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal bodies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, preacher, you're going to have a stroke doing that. That's all fine, friend. You think that bothers me? If I went to glory from behind this pulpit, I couldn't ask for a better thing. To leave out of here preaching God's Word, all of a sudden I'm preaching, and the next minute I'm going to glory. You think that bothers me? Hallelujah. Bow your head. In the name of Jesus, thank your Holy One. Thank your Holy Ghost. Thank your Holy Ghost. Thank your Holy One. Oh, we hunger for that power. God, we're missing that in our lives. Move upon thy people. Write it in their hearts. Let them take their attention from this earth and focus it above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's my home. I love my home. I love my Savior. That's where I'm going. I'm going home one day. I'm going to walk down streets of pure transparent gold. I'm going to look into the face of the one that died for me. I'm going to bow before Him. I'm going to cast what crown I have at His feet. Oh, Jesus. Oh, blessed Jesus. Oh, sweet Jesus. We love you this morning. We exalt you today. In the name of Jesus, we lift you up. Oh, Holy One. Blessed Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You took mine. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You took mine. Glory, glory, glory. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory, glory. I wasn't expecting this, but that's all right. I love it when it's not expected. Oh, man. What a change in the Spirit in this house. The Holy One's here. Do some business with God right now. I'm telling you, listen to me. When the Holy Ghost is present, His power's working, that's the time to pray. That's the time to get a hold of God. That's the time to cast your care upon Him. It's then. Don't let this hour pass you by. Don't let this moment leave. Do business with God. In Jesus' name, bless the name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory. Amen. Woo! Woo! Amen. Do business with Him. Do business with Him. How many of you believe the Holy One's in here right now? What are you waiting on? My. My. What are you waiting on? Do business with Him. Come on. Come on. Get some help from God. Get some help from Him. Get some help from Him. There are things in this world that are greater than you. There are things in this world that will drive your life insane. You are no match for the devil. He's outsmart. He'll outsmart you. He has more power than you. He'll outlast you. But oh, listen to me. Christ Jesus the Lord at the cross at Calvary took every accusation the devil could ever make against me and nailed it to the tree. He took every sin that I'd ever committed or ever will commit and nailed it to the tree. He took the judgment of the righteousness of Almighty God and nailed it to the tree. Oh boy. Yes, sir. It all ended at Calvary. It was at Calvary the devil's power was broken. And it was there, my friend, that I plead this morning. I'm no match for Satan. I'm no match for an addiction. I'm no match for anything. But I know Calvary. I know the one who died at Calvary. I know the one who shed his blood at Calvary. I belong to him. He is mine and I am his. And that's as far as the devil could ever go with me. Oh, he can start up when I was 17. The devil can drag me back to when I was 20. He can drag me when I was in the Marine Corps. Oh, he can drag me to some places on this earth. That's when I take him to Calvary. I take him to the cross. I take him. Are you listening? I take him to the cross. He gets very uncomfortable the closer we get. He starts making all kinds of excuses and trying to divert my path. But I take him to Calvary. You get him to the cross. That's as far as he can go. It was there his power was broken. Take him there. Is he riding you today? He rode me yesterday morning. How, preacher? He took me back to where I used to be before I got saved. You ever done you like that? God didn't do me that way. God didn't do that to me. God didn't do that. He will not do that. He has forgotten it. But the devil will. And I quoted the scripture to him. I said, Satan, the word of God says, and such were some of you. Let me quote it to you again, devil. Such were some of you. That's what I used to be. Not anymore. Remember last Sunday, Wednesday, whenever it was, I preached to you about put on the new man. That is created in righteousness after Jesus Christ. When you put on the new man, you're saying to the devil, let me show you who I am now. Let me explain to you what I am now, Satan. Because you see, my friend, Satan doesn't understand the new birth. He's never been born again. All he can do is accuse. All he can do is relate to you in the area of sin. He cannot relate to redemption. He can't relate to forgiveness. It's not in him to forgive. It's not in him to redeem. But I remind him at Calvary, his power was broken. Is he still exercising power over you? Do you still suffer and crawl and grawl, crawl back and grovel in your addictions and blame it on the flesh or the world or this or that? It's because the devil is exercising authority in your life. Well, how do you deal with him, preacher? First of all, you take authority over him by standing on the Word of God. There's something about confessing what you believe. If you believe it, confess it. By confessing it with your mouth, you're setting yourself up and saying, I do believe it. I stand on it. Devil, that's not what I am anymore. Maybe my body may still have some cravings for dope. Maybe I still have some that flesh will. The flesh is the flesh. But that's not me anymore. By making a positive confession on who God says you are, you have a springboard, a foundation to build upon. Because that is who you are. Reckon yourselves to be dead. That's what you're doing. And that's not who I am anymore, Satan. Sorry. Cross is as far as you can go. And it's as far as he went. I looked around and he was around no more. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. It was on a Monday. Somebody touch me. It was on a Tuesday. Somebody touch me. It was on a Wednesday. Somebody touch you. It was on a Thursday. Somebody touch you. It was on a Friday. Somebody touch you. It was on a Saturday. Somebody touch you. Was it on a Sunday? Somebody touch you. Well, stand up this morning. Would you do that? He touched me. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. Somebody touch me. And it's